This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Litter complaints in Cincinnati are piling up. According to an Enquirer analysis of city records, 2021 is on pace to equal 2018, the year with the highest number of complaints in the last 10 years. Just 2 days after winning election, Cincinnati's incoming mayor, Aftab Purival, announced he would make one of his priorities cleaning up the city, which he says suffers from illegal dumping. According to the Enquirer, illegal dumping is one of the biggest contributors to blight. An Enquirer review of 2020 court cases finds the city filed 20 illegal dumping cases. So joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about this issue and some possible solutions are Enquirer City Hall reporter Sharon Coolidge. Sherry, welcome back to our program.
Thanks for having us.
We have Enquirer breaking news reporter Brianna Rice. Brianna, welcome back.
Thank you.
Cincinnati City Council member Jan Michelle Kearney. Councilwoman Kearney, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me.
And Keep Cincinnati Beautiful Executive Director Jonathan Ady. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for including us. Appreciate it.
And if you're listening and you want to talk about litter or illegal dumping in the city of Cincinnati, give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email your thoughts, questions, and comments to talk at WVXU.org. So, Sherry, we're talking about thousands of litter complaints so far this year, more than 3,000 as of September 19. I'll note that the article produced by you and Brianna came out in late October, so it's probably safe to imagine that a few more litter complaints have piled up since then. Are we talking about large ticket items like mattresses and couches, or are we talking about fast food items thrown from someone's window, or all of it?
Really all of the above. You know, this story idea started just by me seeing the sheer amount of litter on our streets. I walk up Elberon a lot on my daily walks, and it's unbelievable the amount of things that people throw out their windows on a gateway to the West Side. But when myself and Brianna decided to really look into this and look at all of the data, I mean, we really found both. Some neighborhoods, it's the illegal dumping problems that are just your own neighborhood can't even handle, and it really needs the city to help. And some things are, you know, the kind of litter that you would traditionally think about.
So when we talk about litter complaints, is this a phone call to City Hall, or is there a formal process to file one of these?
You can make a phone call, or, you know, the city does have an app, and that is one of the things they said. It makes it much easier for people to complain, and it may be, you know, playing into one of the reasons why there are so many complaints. But I will say the other thing is, from covering City Hall, the number I hear about two things outside of what my daily stories are that people really want to talk about: litter and people's sewer bills. People have a lot of questions about those all the time. And those are the two random things I just get all the time. Like, people are like, can you know, this litter and that litter. But you can complain to the city in many ways.
Brianna, when we think about litter in Cincinnati, are we thinking citywide, or are there particular places that are struck hard?
Yeah, I think when we talk to people, and even just, you know, people who are volunteering and everything, I think people assume that there's more litter on the West Side, and they do have a lot of the, you know, in our analysis, we found that there were 14 zip codes that had the most complaints. Like, most of them are on the West Side, but it is a citywide problem. You know, 1 in 4 complaints are in East Price Hill and West Price Hill, then Clifton Heights, University Heights, Fairview, Mount Auburn, and then Westwood. But yeah, it's definitely all over the city. There are definitely more affluent neighborhoods who aren't getting as many complaints, but it's a citywide problem.
Where is this litter? And I don't mean specifically to the neighborhoods or the zip codes. Is this physically on the side of the street? Is it in people's yards? Or again, is that everywhere, Brianna?
I think, yeah, again, it's everywhere. I think we heard a lot of complaints that it's on the side of highways, on the side of roads. There, when we talked with a representative from the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office, who is responsible, he's a unit of one who works on cleaning up the city. He does a lot with illegal dumping and tires, and it is just sometimes on streets. In particular, he mentioned a street in South Fairmont where sometimes the trash is so bad there that people can't drive down the road. Like, it's just literally in the middle of the road, on the road. One of the places that we visit, Parks in Place, you know, this is a normal residential street with a bunch of people who really care about their street and their neighborhood. And one particular apartment complex, on the side of the house, people are just dumping trash, you know, mattresses, toilets. So I think it's kind of all of the things. It really is particular to each situation, but it seems, yeah, litter's everywhere in the city. I think Jonathan would probably know a little bit better than me, but yeah, it seems from what we talk to people, it's everywhere.
Well, let's talk.
You know what? I know exactly which property on Parks and Place you're talking about, too. And the owner of that has actually bought more property in that area, which is really concerning.
That's Councilwoman Jan Michelle Kearney. First, Councilwoman, congratulations on your recent election, the top vote getter.
Thank you, Michael.
In the 2021 council election. Tell us what you heard from voters about this issue, if you did at all, on the campaign trail.
Yeah, so, you know, we knocked on a lot of doors. You know, pedestrian safety, gun violence were two big issues. Litter was another big issue. People complain a lot about that. Let me just say that we got involved with this whole litter issue because there's a Beekman Corridor Dumping Committee. And I thought, well, that's kind of sad that there's actually a dumping committee. But we went to their meetings. And you know, the first thing I said was, well, you know, there's litter in the street. Why don't we organize residents to, you know, do some Saturday morning cleanups? The city can come out with, you know, dump trucks and all that. And they said, no, you need to come and see what we're talking about. And so Councilmember Sunderman and I, and some other folks walked through some areas of South Fairmount and North Fairmount, and they were showing us different vacant lots, and some of them were actually ravines, so hard to get down. But as you said, they had mattresses, they had toilets, they had like half a car. I mean, it wasn't anything that you could walk through with a trash bag with residents and pick up. It was crazy. And we had someone from our building and inspections department with us, and he would point and say, to clean up this site is going to cost, say, $5,000. And I can tell you the city did go and clean up several of those sites. And some of them were like $14,000 just for the cleanup. And then the city had to put up chain link fences so that trucks wouldn't back up and do more dumping. And those fences can cost like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. I mean, it's a lot of money. And it's just ridiculous that these dumping sites exist and that people are taking advantage of these vacant lots. And then we started asking as we were walking through, well, who owns these sites? And I'm telling you, a lot of them were out of town people, you know, folks who live, some in different countries. We looked up one site. I said, you know, who owns this mess, for example? And it was somebody from Jonesboro, Georgia. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so they, you know, they buy up this property, I guess, holding it for investment purposes, and they're living out of town and not taking care of it. And so the neighborhoods are suffering.
Well, that's something I wanted to ask, Councilwoman.
It's a beautiful neighborhood. Everybody deserves, you know, when you have all that blight, it just attracts crime. So you've got one problem on top of another. I'm sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, I was talking over you, so I apologize as well. So tell me what you learned about how these things start, right? I mean, a dumping site has to get the first dump tossed upon it. So what do we know about the origins of these sites?
I don't know who started it, but it sounds as though there are folks with, you know, trucks, dump trucks, who drive around at night looking for places to, you know, dump all their crap. And so they find these vacant lots and they back up and dump them. That's why the fencing should help. But this is an ongoing problem. I mean, this is all over our city, especially in low and moderate income neighborhoods, especially low income neighborhoods. And, you know, that's a shame. We've got to do something about that.
Let's bring in Jonathan Ady, Keep Cincinnati Beautiful Executive Director. Jonathan, can you enlighten us at all on the origins of some of these dump sites?
I'd be happy to. The characteristics of a dump site are somewhat interesting. If you take a look at dump sites in general, they happen to be on long, narrow streets of egress and one way in. And they happen to have a number of properties that are either abandoned or vacant. So if you see boarded up windows on one end or the other, it kind of invites an illegal dumper to come in. Typically, the dump site is going to be a subcontractor generally. It's somebody who, in order to dispose of waste that they're accumulating in the back of their truck, probably costs $100 to $150 to dispose of properly. But as a subcontractor, maybe they're making only $400, $500 on the job to begin with. So they're going to look for a way to recoup as much of their profit as they possibly can. What is interesting when these cases do go to court, if you take a look at the folks who are being brought in, they are exclusively not from the neighborhood that they are dumping in. We did not see one instance where the zip code of the person being brought before court was the same zip code as where the dumping was happening. As a matter of fact, typically the dumpers are going to be from outside the city limits, particularly when they are subcontractors. Then there are also going to be a large number of landlord set outs where they're not disposing of renter's property or putting it out to the curb properly, but instead just dumping that somewhere. And we are concerned that as the eviction moratorium has been lifted, that that's only going to increase.
Jonathan, as of late September, Keep Cincinnati Beautiful had organized more than 1,500 cleanup events and picked up more than 873,000 pounds of trash, according to reporting in the Cincinnati Inquirer. It appears, though, that in spite of those valiant efforts, litter and dumping are still problems here in the city. What do people need to know about why this is still a problem in spite of some of these efforts to counter it?
I would say that the short answer to that question is behavioral modification. So the most effective way of keeping litter off the streets is for it to never hit the ground in the first place. So there is an element of education to that. There's an element to understanding that litter is not a victimless offense, that as litter and waste gets into our water streams, and there's a huge public health issue. If you go ahead and overlay the maps of violent crimes and dump sites within the city, they're almost identical. There's a huge element to public safety from litter and illegal dumping. And there's just a huge element to community and neighborhood pride. This is the front yard to our homes, our public thoroughfares, our streets, our highways and byways. It is important to attract new talent into the city, for people to come in and want to raise their families, to have a city that is clean and represents that we have pride in our city, and having a lot of litter and dump sites just is opposite to that.
You're listening.
You know, Michael, I wanted to jump in and say something about Jonathan and Keep Cincinnati Beautiful, if that's okay.
Sure.
Just to say, we're really grateful for the work they do. And I've learned a lot from Jonathan, you know, this past year and a half on council. You know, I remember telling him the story about how I was in one area and I was picking up trash, and some of the people standing there were getting really upset with me. And I thought, why are they upset that I'm picking up trash? And so he explained that sometimes drugs are hidden in, like, you know, potato chip bags and things like that. And it is somehow, like, so if folks get stopped by the police, they don't have the drugs on them. They're like in these trash, you know, in these trash contain these empty containers. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So that's, you know, that's very concerning right there. But that was really good information. The other thing, I don't know if Jonathan has this figure in front of him, but we were talking about how a lot of times when folks are fined or can be fined by the courts, they're not. And so, you know, we're missing out on revenue. Often the owners get, you know, a slap on the hand and, like, you know, go clean up this mess. And then, you know, they kind of move on, but without really having to pay for it. And so that's another thing that I think we're losing out on, an opportunity of really letting them know we mean business.
That's Cincinnati City Councilwoman Jan Michelle Kearney. We're also joined by Inquirer reporters Sharon Coolidge and Brianna Rice, and Keep Cincinnati Beautiful Executive Director Jonathan Adey, as we discuss litter complaints in Cincinnati. So we're talking about litter, we're talking about dumping. 2021 is on pace to equal 2018, the year with the highest number of such complaints in the past 10 years. We get an email from Philip that says, I wonder if the issue of the balk pickup being more than a month Q, which is a main contributor. I may be reading that incorrectly or missing a word, so I won't pose that to anyone until I get some clarity on the text.
I can tell you about that.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead, Councilwoman.
So when people have bulk items to be picked up, they have to make reservations with the city. And, you know, it's been kind of tough, I think, maybe because of COVID. I'm not sure all the elements, but it's not instantaneous. And so people do get frustrated when they call and they want everything picked up right then. It takes a while to actually schedule it. I understand we are doing it more quickly now, but it still takes time. I wanted to throw out the number too for people to call for trash pickup and, you know, picking up bulk items. It's 513-591-6000. And I think Sherry or Brianna, one of you mentioned that. And I think Sherry, you mentioned the app, and it's Fix It Cincy. So just two resources people can have besides just calling us. But yeah, if they can call directly 513-591-6000 or go to the Fix It Cincy app.
Well, let's go back to Sharon Coolidge now. This article that you co-wrote with Brianna Rice that was published in late September about this describes illegal dumping as Cincinnati's $2 million problem. Can you tell us what that means?
I think the biggest finding is sometimes, you launch on a story and you're like, okay, here's a problem in the city. And you're like, here's the solution. But it's just so much more than that because it's so complicated. The city has to clean it up. They're spending tons of money to do that. There's 14, they added people to the litter crews in 2018, and we're still in the exact same place that we were. 14 people are dedicated to doing this. And it's never enough. And yes, you could take people to court and maybe they could be fined more, but that means you have to catch them and use police resources to go out there and, prosecute them, take them to court. There is the sheriff deputies dedicated to this. Everyone is putting all of these resources into fixing a problem and the needle just has not moved. And so it's super expensive, but it's almost like, no matter how much money is spent, it's just, there's a root problem because it just keeps happening. Every single person we talked to, every single person said we can clean it up and the next day there will be litter on the ground.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask about next, Brianna, because when you were out working on this story with Sherry and talking to members of the community, residents, about the problems, did you find that they were angry at the city or nonprofit organizations that are trying to help, or is the anger more directed at the actual culprits?
I think it's a mix. I think something that stuck out to me, which obviously, we could only talk to so many people, but I was surprised by how many people are actually, especially the neighbors on Parks and Place, they're just doing it, right? Like, they've been reaching out to the city. The city's come to Parks and Place 33 times. And now, the Fabers, a lovely couple, they go out every Monday and they just pick it up themselves. At this point, they're like, there's nothing we can do to make this better. I also think, in particular, we kind of talked about, Dan Michelle did a little bit about landlords being responsible, but also, tenants are complaining about these situations sometimes too. If you look at Parks and Place in particular, these tenants are also complaining. I think the people living there, no one wants to look at trash that much. You know what I mean? So I think people are complaining about a lot of people. I think on Parks and Place in particular, they're upset about this landlord. I think that people told us they would like to see a quicker reaction from the city, but they understand, yeah, there's 14 people who clean up. I think everyone understands that there isn't a structure in place to really take care of it quickly, but there is definitely blame to go around, I would say.
Jonathan Ady is the executive director of Keep Cincinnati Beautiful. And Jonathan, I'm wondering if there's a connection between this spike in litter and dumping complaints and the COVID-19 pandemic. It does seem somewhat counterintuitive since for the better part of 2020, we were staying at home and not going into the office. But is there a relationship between the pandemic and the amount of litter and dumping we're now seeing?
There was a comprehensive litter study that was put out in 2020 during the middle of the pandemic. And what it showed was that the amount of litter hasn't changed too much over the years, but the composition of litter is changed quite a bit. So, for example, there are far fewer cigarette butts on the ground than there used to be, but there are far more takeout containers. So over the last 18 months, we have lived in a takeout world. We've lived in a styrofoam container kind of world, and that has made its way onto city streets and into our water system. Additionally, because of the pandemic, there's roughly 200 million articles of personal protective equipment that were not part of the litter makeup prior to the pandemic, which are now a part. I think it's important to note that litter and dumping, for that matter, hits the ground in one of three ways. It's thrown, it's dumped, or it's blown. To the extent that a lot of the lower income housing areas have seen a spike in litter, part of that problem is that food stamps is an allowable expense. You can't purchase trash bags. So much of the trash around those areas is unsecured, and the way the trash is now picked up, a lot of that is going to make its way to the ground. In terms of being thrown, our research shows that if you go down, let's say an exit off of I-74, then there's a fair amount of trash. 90% of that is going to be on the driver's side, which shows that people know that it is something that they shouldn't be doing, but they do it anyway, in which case it's education. And it's also, I think part of it is working on the carrot side of that equation. We have fines, we have ways that we are not collecting that revenue, but Keep Cincinnati Beautiful is working on some elements of adding some carrots to that, you know, tire amnesty days, maybe more one-stop drops, just ways to encourage folks to take more pride rather than complaining about what's not being done. The research says that there are 152 pieces of litter on the ground for every man, woman, and child in America. First thing you can do is go pick up 152 pieces of trash. But that presupposes that nobody is dropping anything more. So the other thing is just to make sure that we are not adding to the problem.
And Councilwoman Kearney, I've got about 90 seconds left here. And we said at the top of this conversation that incoming Mayor Aftab Pureval hopes to address blight and litter pretty swiftly. I imagine that the council will get on board with any initiatives. What do you expect to come out of the new government as it relates to this issue?
Yeah, absolutely. The mayor-elect is serious about this, and I'm really excited about that because we have to clean up this litter. I can tell you we have some ordinances already on the books that just are not being enforced. For example, the PLAP, the Private Lot Abatement Program, which allows up to like $25,000 fines for illegal dumping. But you know, as far as I know, the magistrate in court have never actually imposed that fine on anyone. So we need to look and see if the laws we have are being enforced, how are they being enforced, and what can we do to make sure they are enforced and that they are effective.
Again, the number to call to file those litter complaints are 513-591-6000, 513-591-6000. If you see litter in your neighborhood and want to complain about it, that is the number to call. My thanks this afternoon go out to Sharon Coolidge and Brianna Rice of The Inquirer for their reporting on this issue that drew our attention to it, and also Cincinnati City Councilwoman Jan Michelle Kearney for joining us, and Keep Cincinnati Beautiful Executive Director Jonathan Avey for being with us to help explain the situation as well. I thank all four of you for the time you gave us today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michael. We appreciate it.
Michael, I do want to say real quick that we brought the story back out today, and so people can find it on the homepage of Cincinnati.com.
That's good marketing. Well done, Sherry. Thanks again, everybody. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.